I'm turning this morning to the book of Hosea, chapter 1. And I'll read the first few verses. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Friends, we have with us this morning one of the dramatic stories of the Bible. In fact, this story has no parallel at all in the Bible. It's so dramatic, it's so strange. But at the same time, this shows the love and compassion of God for his people. God will do anything to bring his people from damnation, from condemnation, from bondage. Whatever it takes, God is prepared to do that for us, regardless of our unfaithfulness, regardless of our weakness, regardless of our shortcomings. And this is the story about Hosea. The American is an opinion, the before you send money free, would you be a near friend of Hosea? Now, Hosea came, you know, a assembly, Emma Moy, our Babu Munna, assembly any horn, my book, Hosea, to me, at a true home. A quiet and coupon, a chair of da or woman at the Boyfo, a nipper. Any idea of Bayer, I'm a way here, free, sir. Tip to the animal. He will do anything to take us out of that bondage. This is what we are going to learn about today. Throughout the scriptures, we have so many descriptions of how God relates to us, our relationship between man and God. First, he is the Lord Almighty. And we are his subjects or his servants. Secondly, he is creator. God is a creator and we are creatures, but made in his image. Thirdly, another shocking description of God and us is father and children. His father and we are his children. And this is one of the astounding truths of the gospel, that God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now adopt us, sinful creatures like us, as his children, because of what Christ has done. For all those who will believe in Christ, we are adopted and we become God's children. And this is so personal and this is so tender. If I let me just say, Bible church, a quam be brave, so say the enemy, a radin temu etie. The edicano. The Lord Almighty. They talk to me, it's about creator. Yabaya ni ma epi se Yesu abewu ajiye efri ye boni. Se Yesu mewu enyi wunfri wu boni ni mu. Se wunhu wu boni na wunka wu boni mefa wu boni nche wua. Nase se uye nyankupon ba. Uye na bodi. Ni se nyankupon ye kron kron kron. Boni enti mi mko ni nche. Enti no omwa Yesu abewu ajiye omunu. Omunu ena abeye se si u nyankupon ema. Now, we are in a coupon and term, said the TNU. And these are so rich and remarkable descriptions, as we have just said, and they also show the many sides of our relationship with God. But there's one more unique description that I haven't mentioned, and that is God is the husband, and we people are his wife. The gospel says that we are the bride of Christ. But when I come here, young kind say, and you go on to say, ekunu ana yen nipa nso ti se oyere ta na bible ni echire se obi a nyakopo abo no onyakopo no bible no echire se yesu bi wuja eje ye no ya be ye onyakopo oyere ene nyakopo ye ekunu no na sa enema enan ye a maken se nyakopo oyere almighty oyere creator and also he is our father. The last one, which is husband and wife, is what we are going to talk about today. Yen ekita ngu bie nyina mi de ka ho asem ne no ye se oyey yekun na ye ye ne yere ene ho asem na ye be ka no Hosea enu mana e oyey ni na ena me ka se we ele kise nyakopon dopa o doma enipa se obeye aji bia obeye eyi ye free ye boni including even things that he hates. Adi a won pekra no obeye se ye yenti na ye betimi e free ye boni ena me ka se sa asemu ya ye be ka ho asem ya asem a odi ne ho a won ti ase se nyakopon a wo ye kon na ni di for ye ka nyakopon di for ye omo ni na obo ti ye ne omo twen tre ye ka proper e di for nyakopon kana se form so omo ye holy men omo ne from the holy men. As soon as you have a power, so we are so we are default. Now we are crum. Omo ba kuna ye kana se. As soon as you have uncle fa sebi a German money, but the few version, the positive. Uncle worry of German money. Obi oye crum. Uncle worry of German money. As soon as you have a country ne the default. It's not because I say when it's all you know how in ba ekye nyakopon odra odoma yen ene asem o pese ye tiatie afaka bebree so akasa akye na wesu yoka ba kan wo faso a be me ehun se die ye ne ntem pie de bia me ka be nipa wo ehun se die wo nyakopon ntem tie a e ma yesu wo no ko wuye no ehun ma faso ma aje de wo ehun se die wo tie. This story, the foundational storyline of this book, is like I said, it's so amazing, so unique and surprising that God, the holy, holy, holy God, will tell his holy prophet to go and marry a prostitute. But like I said, God will do anything, including things that he hates, to get a message to us, especially how he sees us, how we are to him after the fall. But see, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. First, let's talk about Hosea. Let's look at him. His ministry was between 30 and 40 years that he ministered as a prophet. Probably from maybe 750 to 720 before Christ. And he was a contemporary with prophets like Isaiah and Micah. They were together in those days. But he ministered primarily to the northern territory, the northern kingdom of Israel. You know, Israel was divided, the north and the south. The north, who had about 200, they were about 200 years prior to the reign of Solomon's son. So the northern kingdom had about 20 kings in those 200 years. And every single one of them, every single one of these kings was evil and led the people to worship idols. So you can imagine 200 years of adultery living towards the people, towards God. The American says, Hosea, when you come to the year, you may be in fear, if you are sent, echo, if you are nine. Now, only as if we say Isaiah, any Micah, and I know what happened. Sabbath, not Isaiah, no, you are killing me, no more washroom, no more water from, and no, the canister, no, ewo, or more and war, Estrohon. As I Estrohon, na bese efie be ahenu na omonya ahenu kobeye adionu na efie nyina so eye omo ana omsu nyakopon no ma omo kofo no sum abosom e die ho and another property or kind of thing. That's where God sends him to. So when we say prophets, their role is that they are spokesmen for God. So they can be a Odifua, where Onyankupon accept or no Kenya Kupas, but Yakupon can accept the channel. Now I can't hear any part. They are sure of the Bible. This happened in the Bible here anyhow. What I'm saying is that this man prophesied in those areas where over 200 kings all worship, led the people to worship idols. And that is where God sent him to go and warn the people. And I'm trying to explain who a prophet is, their functions, their role. They were spokesmen for God. They were also covenant enforcers. So, they were all the time warning Israel to be obedient to the word of God. They warned them, they were always warning about sin and rebellion. And people want to edit for 10 years. Someone almost can say, oh, no, edit warning, and a man, if I. Bonnie, and they say, you need to so. And they crying, and people be fast, so I bet you almost. They were all warnings and warnings and warnings. That's where their role. So, when we go to Hosea 2, it says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Then verse 2, so he went and married Gomer, the daughter of Dibiam, and she conceived and bare him a son. This is a very wonderful story, as I have already said. God commanding his holy prophet to go and do this. Why would God do that? He would do that because the marriage between Gomer and Hosea is going to be a living illustration as to how we are with God, how we have become with God after the fall. So this is what I'm saying, that God will use any means to let us see our state before him. So he's doing this for us to see how we are and how evil is sin, how God sees sin. You know, God who has summoned all these experiences, God didn't need to physically ask Hosea to go and marry Gomer and have all these children. He could have said it. But this shows how God, in the first place, his love, his mercy, compassion for us, and also for us to see the true effect of evil, how we have become after the fall. Kwenyango papa, anka omma Hosea, enpo warisa obani. Obeti miya kanate mno, acheye. Enso wapesi yon hu sedye tiye, sedye nyango pon, sedye yafutra abeye, ewo ne nimu, isa isi free bra, adam fole yon. Intina wosu, onko ware, ogyamamoni. Now, in the Bible, as we read, we are not told the thoughts of Hosea, how he thought about the whole thing. But at least, it is hard to imagine that a man like Hosea would go and marry a prostitute. Obviously, we know he wouldn't do that. But we are not told what he told God. So, Nyakubo Kato, Uncle Wari, Ojamamoni, you know. Ahano yam saying said the or no so your yeah as more catching a coupon. But the new man said would be a coupon after so echo ware or bana and pa. Now because in a coupon a win nan edia saying said the uhuye and said the lakuma tea am I. Because that Goma had a very bad reputation before marriage as a loose woman, an immoral woman. And she proved that during the marriage with Goma, he became an adulterer. So God is showing us how we have become unto him. So for the Lord to use the picture of Hosea and Gomer's relationship reveals the same intensity of emotion that the Lord feels towards the covenant people. I'm saying now, in him say, if you are saying, our people will be a war. As someone I get by, betting a man, I see back up any of the mammal. So back up a fat back with you. Now, who is what is that to me? Am I you? Sam Yayan. You are either for God or you are for Satan. So, for whom are you going to go? I just say, who is not? Therefore, who is not? I just say, what is adultery? I can't find any back for you. This is the picture God is trying to paint to us. So, sometimes it's difficult for us to see how sinful, how evil sin is. But this picture tells you, because everybody knows. Being a whole man, we are here, who knew said, yeah, or buy another bema, the new command, and the different chairs, the Missia Ashino. And then the prophet was training you with the son, the iron, son or no son, Ashino. So you see that Israel was ungrateful to God. They were unfaithful, like Gomer. Gomer was unfaithful to her husband. They broke their covenant relationship with God. Nakupono, a chino. You be who covenant here, and I'm going Israel for a coy, or break it. If you ask the question, yes, sir, go how you be covered out, or someone on my way, be Mujas, and then the Omega, Omuja Akofra say, well, overpower will be a chino, you will see it in Yayo. And this is the covenant God had with the people of Israel, and by extension, all of us. That's the covenant that God has for us, people who have been created by God. And this covenant was given through Moses. That's why it is always called the Mosaic Covenant. So, apparently, you know, only if Israel for a family or the fire Moses. So, it is because Moses a family. And let me just summarize the covenant. What God told them is that believe and obey the Lord, and He will pour out His blessings. You see, Dina who wants to meet. Na dina temoso na obeshiao or the shabby bring man. And God, that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless us. God has so many blessings that He wants to bestow on us. But what He wants us to do is to believe and obey. Believe and obey Him, and He will pour out all these blessings. That's what He told the people of Israel. And we know, all of us know how God blessed the people of Israel. In so many ways that He delivered them, He did a lot of things to prove that He kept His part of the covenant. But they didn't keep this. The second thing was that rebel and disobey Him, and He will bring curses upon you in judgment. So when you not someone, no one in Yeshua, or the no man and the better also. You see, opposite. Blessing or curse. Who this one, or be blessed, where in Yeshua, or be curse. And that's what the covenant was going. And we saw it in those days when Israel commits sin so much, then God will allow the army of Assyria or whatever to come and take them hostage to their place and to be serving them. God did all these things, and yet He'll go and bring them back. You see, now go on. That time only Israel for the name, so catch them no more. No, this is one of the messages that the book of Hosea is telling us. The third covenant was that if they humble themselves and repent, He will restore them. So, God is always prepared to receive His people, no matter how sinful they are, no matter how deep they go into sin. He's always prepared to bring them. And this is one of the signs of His love and compassion for his people. And we know that in the Old Testament, this went on for over a 1,000-year period. Israel will rebel, God will punish them, they repent, he'll go and bring them, they will rebel again. So many times, that's how the cycle was in the Old Testament. Sanana omutie ewo Old Testament nim omye boni nyakopo atwo maso na omonu omho omoba na masan ye boni bio na atwo maso sana a course well before Christ came. So this is what God is showing us. So if we are understand the covenant, all what it means is that obey me, I will bless you. If you don't obey me, I will curse you. And this is by extension to us too, we who are also living. So now let's go to our story. To verse 4, it says, and the Lord said unto him, that is after he has given birth, he said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Then 5, and it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. You see the name he chose, all this, he's using the name even to talk to the people of Israel. You see all what God will do to get the message. He wanted to get the message through so many means. Now even his children, the names of the children are messages. Now he said that this Jezreel was a location of much. I remember when during the COVID, there was a story about this, where they were burying people, and people were referring to the Bible. I don't know, but I'm just saying. So this was a place of bloodshed. So this is telling of them again that God's judgment is coming. The name Jezreel is to tell the people that God will avenge, God will judge his people. He's warning them to repent and that he will judge them. That is why I say all the time it was a warning to repent. They will repent and go again. God will warn them again. This is what was going on. That was the cycle for the people of Israel. So he's telling them by the name of the child that I will judge the people. I will avenge. And when God says he will judge, we know what it means. And then verse 6 says, and she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-ruhama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, who save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by... You see, that Lo-ruhama is also a Hebrew word for no mercy. So again, God is using this name to tell the people that you have no mercy for them again, because he has warned them and warned them and warned them, and they continue to do what they are doing. What a teaching point to Israel. God is teaching them through even the names of Uzziah's children. The first one for the daughter was a message to the nation, Israel. Since that time, Israel should have been awakened when God warned them through that name that he would destroy them. And yet they were going on. Then God is now saying that now you no longer show mercy or compassion for them because they have been unfaithful to him. You see, for us to get more specific ideas of Israel's sin, but we may ask, what sins at all were they committing? If you go to chapter 4, you see from verse 1. He said, hear the word of the Lord. I can read this for you. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. These were their sins. They were lying, they were cheating, they were stealing, they were committing adultery. You see, that's what they were being to God. And that's why all these warnings were coming up. And friends, are we not being worse in our days? Talking about these things, lying and cheating and killing. Are we not doing that in our days? So this is also a warning to us that God will avenge. God will never leave us. Now go to chapter 1 again, verse 8. It says, now when she had weaned Lorehama, she conceived and bare a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Amini, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. See what God is now saying. You are not, that name, he's still using another child's name to warn them that now they are not his people, and he won't be their God. So Lo-Amini in the Hebrew word means not my people. See, God is warning them through the marriage, through the children, and all of them. And it's another powerful teaching point to Israel. Now let's go on. So far you see that the book of Hosea is rather very sobering, like very, very, very depressing. All what God is saying up to this point is so much depressing. But now the tone changes for the next 3 verses. On says, Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. You see how God is, how merciful he is. Now he's toning down. Now he's telling them that Bebia na ujina or can't say money microphone. Sons of the living God. Then verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and it shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of judgment. See, now he's promising them that they will come together and become one people with one head. Now God is taking them back. When you go to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, say ye unto the brethren, Amini, and to your sisters, Rahama, talking about those same children. So, you see, in the face of all the bad news that I've described before, now we have a hint of something that will change. The Lord had not given up Israel forever and ever. Now, he speaks of a day coming where he will redeem them and bring all things, he will change all things. And this is also like us. Isn't it? The Lord is warning us. And the same warning he was given during the time of Noah, the same warning he was given during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same warning he's given us. All the gospel that we are preaching is all about the warnings of God and what will happen if men and women don't listen to God. And it will happen because all the ones I talk about happened. So why don't you believe this one? Now, when you go to chapter 2, the first half speaks of the God's judgment, and Israel continues to prove to be unfaithful, and the Lord now judges her. If you read from chapter 2 up to from verse 2 to 13, you can't read, but I'll just read the first two. Say, plead with your mother, plead, for he is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adultery from between her breast, lest I strip her naked and see her in the day that she was born, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of Kordom. For their mother has played the harlot. She that conceived them have borne shamefully, for he said, I will go after my lover that gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. You see the adultery we are talking about. The same thing, when God saved the people from Israel and they were going in the wilderness, it came to a point that they were erecting idols that they brought them from Egypt. It's not the same thing we are doing. Look at what Christ has done for us. He has come to die to save us from our sins. And yet, now, people take this whole thing as a joke. When you are telling people about God, some comments that people make, people are worshipping idols. They are worshipping wealth, things of this world. People are not happy with what they have. They are, all their attention is on wealth and fame, money, including pastors and so-called prophets. Now, when you see what people are doing, the God who delivered them, if it wasn't for Christ, none of us had the right to live, to even stand here. But he has redeemed us from all those condemnation, and yet we have turned aside and worshipping idols, looking elsewhere. That's what this woman has done. He is looking for other lovers apart from the husband. And that's what Israel did to God. God, who made that covenant with them and truly showed his power throughout their journey, now they rebel against God and worshipping idols. It's a very serious matter. And like I said, among marriages, when there has been adultery, whether the husband or the wife, there are some strong emotions. There's nothing. The only thing that can be compared to this is when maybe one spouse dies. Otherwise, there's nothing that can happen in the marriage that can be compared to adultery. There is a strong emotion. And this emotion is what God is having now. And the emotion is what? It's anger. And we call it justifiable anger, because when somebody is angry at that, the person is justified. In the same way, if God is angry with us, God is justified, because we have done something that justifies his anger. So God is now angry, because, like I said, adultery is a betrayal that you can never compare to any other thing. The breaking of a covenant that should never have been broken. Because when we talk about a covenant, a covenant is different from an agreement or a contract. A contract can be broken. Agreement can be broken. Covenant can never be broken. That's why God never broke his covenant. So it is a very serious thing if you break a covenant. Because it should never be broken. That's why it is called covenant. It is not a promise. It is not an agreement. It is not a contract. It's a covenant that you sign with somebody. And that's what Israel has done. So God is right to be angry. To be angry at the people. A covenant in Jebia, oh yeah, it's so diso. You want Jebia, oh yeah, be a woman, you so. Why are you so? I know you're a bit medicine. Now, where is it so diso? You may not know where and one word you need, yes, so. There's no suit to me deal with you. It's the one you saw. There's a couple of the work for or your right and the food. So we call it a justifiable answer. So God is now angry toward Israel. God has been a wayward bride, and he's completely justified if he's angry with them. If you go through verse 12, you see all these things. But then in the second part of the chapter, the tone now changes compared to the one in chapter 1. He said, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And I will give her vineyard from them, and the value of Arco for a door of hope. There she will respond as she did in the days of her youth, as in the days she came out of the land of Egypt. You see, now the picture here is that, like the man whose wife has committed adultery, because he loves her, now he calls her to a very quiet place. And now talking to her. Stop what you are doing, and I will restore you. You see, and that's what God is continuously doing to us. Warning us and then comforting us. If you stop this, I will be with you. I will be your God. I will have mercy upon you. In the same way as I brought the people out of Egypt, I will do the same thing to you. Now, this is very surprising. Though Israel has consistently offered themselves up for 200 years as an adulterous woman, God is still prepared to repair the broken marriage. And that is what he does to us. Regardless of our sins, he's always prepared. Look at verse 16. And it shall be, and it shall be all that day, said the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baal. For I will take away the names of the Baal out of her mouth, and it shall no more remember me. You see how God will cleanse us from our sins if we believe in Him, and it will become like as if we have never sinned before. This is the help that God will want to give the people of Israel. Or say, Bonnie, why are you now? Or maybe Pabonino, I'm not saying the only Boni the other. Son of Jesus, so I am mine. One of the world crossing, you see, you need the crash and inside. Or maybe Payabonia in my eyes, the only Boni the other. Verse 18, he said, and in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the powers of heaven and the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow of the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. You see what God is prepared to do. For the sinners, those who have become adulterers, He is prepared to do all these things for them. Make them righteous. Made them faithful, made them fruitful, and made them to know the Lord. And that's what He does for us. When you believe in Christ, He changes you. When you repent of your sins and you commit your life to Him, He changes you and makes you a new person. As someone or such a say, Bonnie Omo Yenachin or say, Omo Jayana, or Bessa Hofu, said the Omo Yaboni Biada, or Bonnie Achaomo, Omo Yipapofro. Now, Sana, you're casting your way out for one who say you are born again. You are born in righteousness. You see, He mentioned the word righteousness. They shall be, or see, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. We were born in sin because of Adam. Now we are born in Christ. So we are born into righteousness. And Christ, God is prepared to do that for us. So you see, Hosea is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. What Hosea has done is what Christ has come to do for us. You know, Christ was holy. He is God Himself. Never sinned, and yet He became sin for us. He came to live in this evil world, not just to live here, but die the death of a criminal. When we were supposed to be hung there, Christ hung there for us. The Hosea, I come here came, a fine couple of efforts to edit and so Yesu Sabah Abayamaye. Said the Hosea, be our own year Bonida, Nelson, and who was on Kofa, Sebu Obawa, Ujaman Bunyan. Sana Jesus will be on your bonita, no baby, I say, no baby, a bunny and a swire. I ain't tea, a born no asinium. To the yes near Bonibiada. I send you a born near, I send you a woman for four or more deep bonny, but near any was the bonny, and I a decumusum, and Nathan Cayenne, a father, and a yes, a cojimai. It is a Hosea seminal, or Tria being back, yes, so. Say the yes, so I am my year time. He said, so you see the forgiveness and the mercy of God. And he said in verse 20-21, and it shall come to pass that day I will hear, says the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and wine and the oil, and they shall hear this. You see, He will change everything from judgment now to become His own people. You see, what a turnaround. The angry God is now prepared to reconcile with them. Our time is going. So now let's see what the lessons that we can learn from this story of Hosea and Gomer. Yeah, share and then try to be every Hosea and Gomer as assembly. The first thing is to learn that we are all named Gomer. I didn't see the back when they say, yeah, nah, I have been here. Listen, if you Adam calling him. In a fair Goma, a Ojamamboni. It's yet another Yamamo for a woman. This is what I'm saying, that God is using all these things to paint to us how He sees us. And this is how He sees us. He sees all of us as adulterers. And that's how we must all see ourselves. So Israel became evil, like the pagan nations. And then now we also have become like them. We are the spiritual Israel. We have also become like them. We also become like adulterers. That's how God sees us. Now, so we learn from this and other places in the scriptures that we have to also humble ourselves and admit that we are all spiritual adulterers. Because I say, you're getting saying, nah, who would you? You're sure to it's time to Adam, a poly and a free Adam. Look at Romans 3, verse 23. I was for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Also, be a ayabone, ashiasi o unyakupon eni. Sometimes, it's time ahumaswenti. Ya no, obi say, oh, be a way na waye di bon eni, we o bokro no, we o ye arm robber, we o di dinko fortem, we o ye say, me de e menye sa ane mano, ki menye di bon eni. Kasa o, o da da o. Be a ye di bon eni, once you free Adam, when you buy eni. That's how you must see yourself anyway, that's how God sees you. Even if you think you are righteous, God doesn't see you like that. God sees you as an adulterer. And that's how you must see yourself. When you go home, who say, we are money. And they say, Romans, what can you say? Nah, you are funny. You are free as when you go home. Now, if you are not careful in your pride, you will be judging others and condemning others. But you may not be in some of the known big things. But all of us have become adulterers before God. That's the message that God is sending to us. And the Holy Spirit confirms that in our conscience, we ourselves will know that we are sinners. Jesus warned of this in Luke chapter 18, in the parable, the parable involving the righteous leader, the Pharisee and the publican, when they went out to pray. You see, the Pharisee prayed that, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, like extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, because they were known to be sinners. I fast twice in the week, I gave tithes of all that I possess. You see, somebody, two people went to pray, but I didn't know who said they can go out and look, on the say, on your body, I can say, maybe that they are on your body, or go pray, I can't go on, it was on the onye boni o tua ne tai o kwa sori ko sia de bia o ye fasting to ndo onye boni o ti se bi o jina ho e ndo onye ho no sempa ye wan se gwa de mi boni ni kamboni che ni have mercy on me God I'm a sinner. Who would God listen to? According to the story, he said that the man who prayed for God to have mercy on him went home justified. Onye nyako mo itie ni pa ba so wa ho mo so ye de boni ni a nyako mo itie on pa ba. That is the message. You must see yourself as an adulterer. You are not fit to go before God. And then God will forgive you of your sin. We all need new hearts. That is why the new covenant of Jesus promised us. We all need new hearts. All our hearts must be changed. Otherwise, we come with the heart of adultery. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah, who are for fra? Or see, any man now we in an echem. I fed the obey in the back of four. Be beachem, but near now we are jumping and able to nechem. I fed the obey in the back of four. All things have become new. Now you are under Christ. You are under a new covenant, not the old covenant. So to be made new, we all must start by humbling ourselves. And standing the one of the children is near his humility. You have to humble yourself. That's how we come to God. We come to God like the publican. You come and plead that God must forgive you. Confess your sins to him. Nobody knows your sin. It's only you and God. Confess to him and ask him to forgive you. And he will forgive you, because God cannot lie. He has said that anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast away. But you have to really, really know God and how God sees you. That is the only way you can come in humility. Because you can imagine an adulterous woman, if she feels sorry for what he has done, and he comes to the husband, I don't think he will come and be pointing his hand at the husband. I'm sure he'll come and kneel down and ask to forgive. And that is the same way you come to God. Come and kneel down and ask him to forgive you. So you must know God. You must know how God is long-suffering. So
to near butra think was saying na dida kebonia e kosu nkofo wo die wu en nkofo wo di din e giska e gu nkofo o hwo mu nyina han ne mama e dey ba ah e be too late. You must know his long suffering. You must know his patience. How his patience. You must know his mercy and know him, all his attributes, who God is. You must know. You must know all these things. Don't simply know about him, but seek to know him as a wife who know her husband. So the Obama if you do silence on food who said you were tears. Now come. You come and ask him. Hosea chapter 2 verse 14 says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably. You see, he will bring you somewhere quiet and speak comfortably with you so that you repent of your sins and then you come to him. If you want to know more about God, you have to read the Old Testament. That's where you see God's dealing with his people. In those days, you see how God was. Sometimes he's very angry, the people will commit sins again, and he still have patience for them. The same thing that we see in the New Testament of God's love and patience, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says, but God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The same thing, Christ, brother, what boni mukwa na, is before a panabon, omuansuna, umemao. The same thing that Christ has done for us in our New Testament. And Paul said the same thing again in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16. He said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a person to them who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see, we see the same thing with Christ, how he loved us, how he had patience for us. People were insulting him, they were spitting at him, and yet they were the same people that God was saving. And these are all lessons for us, friends, as we hear about this story of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea is God, we are Gomer. All of us, we are all Gomer. And unless we realize it, unless we admit that we are Gomer, and come and plead for pardon and forgiveness, God says, he will bless us if we keep the covenant. He will curse us. And God, in the same way as his love is, the same way his anger is. One day when the anger comes, nobody can stand. He has patience for you. Are you hiding something from God? What sin are you committing that you think that you can never give up? Ask him. If you have been entangled by a particular sin that you know you can't give up, ask him. He is the one that will make you, help you. To forgo all those things and be acceptable in his sight. So, but if then we won't see our ultimate ma on your book, so we can't all change what you have, but not stand over there and come to me matter. The same time, but yes, you will say, but you don't mean either. And you know, one of the people I'm more jibber than I just want your book on. Bra, number come on in a chill. Unquana will name Bonnie, or you will be here to me who Bonnie will be true. It is only you and God. And tell God that this is what I've done. You have done that because by nature you are an adulterer. Oh no, you are by now, we are adulterer. Anything that will disable you, we are seeing. Can the children for born in children? Now the born in children. Let's read another word that he said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. He said, Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you wealth and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us. See, tell God to take away all your iniquity and then to receive us graciously. So will we render the curse of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not hide upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods. For indeed the fatherless founded mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned from him. You see all this thing that God is telling us. Take your sin to him. But you know, this is a show on the amount of money I know. Catch him. Now, on my own, I'm not paid yet. On my own, I'm not coming. Not only you in your life. It is only when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you that your life will be directed in this way. But when there's sin, he will never. Matthew 11 verse 28 which says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, let me end with these words from Hosea chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. Hosea 6, 1 to 3. He said, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. Then shall we know if we follow the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain come unto the earth." Ose yan ko nyakopon na yan fa yebo ni na ya how na en ko tun e ne ya o chi sa se mo yi. All what I'm begging you is that when you go home, kneel down, even here right now, as you pray to him, ask him to forgive you of your sins, mention your sins to him, ask him to forgive you, and he will, because he has said that whoever comes to me, I will in no wise turn away, and he's a God who cannot lie. So come unto him now, come with your sins, ask him to forgive you, and then he will forgive you.